going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today for Mark. Thanks for hanging out with me. And I also get to hang out with cool kids like Charles Lipson, noted syndicated columnist, actually my favorite syndicated columnist. Charles, good to talk to you again, sir.
Well, you've become my favorite talk show host along with Mark.
Yeah, hey, Ethan, flag the tape on that. I want to play that.
We'll do. We'll do.
I'm ahead of Mark when it comes to Charles Lipson.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's what you said. That's what you said, Charles. Listen,
Tag team.
Listen, I'm still in litigation mode. I had a trial last week, and so I'm still in my litigator mode. But let me take my lawyer hat off here and focus on one of the columns that you wrote recently, Charles, because as I read it, I was literally cheering. Because of you bringing this to light. You had a...
I could hear you. I'm in Chicago and you were in St. Louis, but I could hear you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been heard in different states before, and that's without amplification. But the column that you wrote, Charles, is called Another Spring, Another Round of Anti-Semitism on Campus. And I am so passionate about this topic, not because I'm Jewish, because I'm not, but because if you look at the founding fathers and the documents that were used to initiate this country, freedom of religion was paramount, was literally at the top of the list of rights to secure. And yet on college campuses across this country, they've been stifling and literally punishing Jews in this country. And it's been driving me crazy. I'm glad you brought this to light. But let's talk about, first of all, let me start here. What set the stage for you to write this column about how being a Jew on a college campus today is almost like having your a wanted poster out with your picture on it?
Well, what set me off was that I walked down. I live only a few blocks from the University of Chicago, a wonderful university where I taught for 4 decades and am now emeritus. But pretty active, and I walked down to campus, and there was a big tent sort of in the middle of campus with what Jews would call a blood libel. It first of all, it accused 4 trustees by name with big pictures on the tent and on sort of posts nearby of genocide because they support Israel. And of course, it tells you that the university needs to sell any stock that has anything to do with Israel, and you know, not have any pro-Israel people on campus. Not that there are all that many who speak out publicly. I think a lot of students don't like this, but why make yourself a target? Most people just keep their head down.
Sure.
And the coalition on campus is really, in this case, led by international students, Muslims, from Muslim countries and Muslims in the U.S. who are fundamentally illiberal. They don't believe in this kind of tolerance. And then they've made a coalition with the left, gays and feminists and so forth, all of whom are treated well in Israel, including Muslims, mm-hmm. But would be thrown off buildings in the regimes they're supporting.
And I think that's ironic, and I don't want you to move past that yet, Charles, because the folks that are supporting the gays, the trans community, and others who are supporting mm-hmm. Palestinians here who are chanting literally for the extermination of the Jewish state from the river to the sea, and they are advocating this, and they're joined in their advocacy by the gay and trans community, these people in any Muslim nation would be executed for their lifestyle, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. I think there are a couple of points to be made here. One is that this stuff is now starting in high school with kind of indoctrination, but probably middle school. And a number of the parents who are listening to this would know that. We saw a Supreme Court case. It wasn't about Israel. It was about forcing students to stay in class, even if their parents didn't want them to listen to books about transgenderism. So there's a sense that the state is taking control over what parents used to have control over. But I think that the coalition of the left is fundamentally a coalition of opposition. And it's what politicians call a log roll. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So it's they may actually believe falsely, if they're feminists, that they would have support in Muslim countries, but they really can't push on that too much. What they can unite around is hating Israel.
And there's so much evidence of this, and you talk in your article that even though on college campuses, and we saw this at play after the October 7 terrorist attack, the Hamas terrorist attack on Israel, that on so many campuses across this country, even right here in St. Louis at Washington University, we saw it at the University of Missouri, which is where one of my daughters go right now. She's there right now. She's there. We saw it at St. Louis University here in St. Louis, as well as college campuses across this country. We saw these sit-ins. And we saw college campuses being overtaken by campgrounds, by fencing, and they were occupying and preventing Jewish students from going to class.
At UCLA, there was a Jew-free zone
yes.
that the students set up. This is a public school. But the one thing you didn't see, you saw all of that. One thing you didn't see was university presidents expelling these students, or at least suspending
yes.
them for a year. There was nothing done. And I've been for many years taught courses in international politics. One of the key concepts there is deterrence. And if you give people only a pat on the head instead of a kick in the groin,
right.
you're going to get more of that behavior.
And let me read to you this, and I want to hear your opinion on this. This is from last year. And by the way, we're talking to award-winning columnist Charles Lipson on the show today, and there was an injunction. There was a lawsuit filed in 2024 to stop right. UCLA from discriminating against Jewish students. Here's what the judge said in the temporary restraining order, and I'm going to quote. It's just three sentences. Quote, in the year 2024, in the United States of America, in the state of California, in the city of Los Angeles, Jewish students were excluded from portions of the UCLA campus because they refused to denounce their faith. This fact is so unimaginable and so abhorrent to our constitutional guarantees of religious freedom that it bears repeating. Jewish students were excluded from portions of the UCLA campus because they refused to denounce their faith, unquote. How do you react when you hear this coming from a judge in a court proceeding from last year in California?
Well, it's just loathsome that on a college campus, these kinds of things could be done, and essentially with no pushback from the university or Governor Gavin Newsom. And I would say that if you're a university president and didn't suspend people, you yourself should be suspended.
But let's go to Columbia for a second, because you talk about this in your article, Charles. Right. I'm sure that the District Attorney Alvin Bragg in New York, I'm positive, in fact, that he rode in on a horse to protect these Jewish students. And I'm sure that he arrested all of these pro-Palestinian people who were denouncing Judaism and calling for genocide against Israel. I'm sure Alvin Bragg just arrested all of those people, didn't he?
Well, I think the horse's back broke. But
well, I've seen Alvin Bragg. He's a pretty big guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy. I mean, if he keeps it up, he can run for governor of Illinois.
Well, yeah, good point.
You know, Governor Fool Buffet, as we call him. It's a sad thing, because it's not just against Jews. I mean, what people should understand is that this is coercion, and it's fundamentally illiberal. It goes against very basic elements of what our country stands for. I want to recommend that people go. I'll send you a link. Governor Mike Huckabee of your neighboring state has just been sworn in as a U.S. ambassador to Israel. In his speech about how moving it was for him to become ambassador, it's just one of the most moving things. And, of course, he's not Jewish. He's Christian. And this gets to another fundamental point. He is speaking up for what you and I would call the Judeo-Christian ethos,
yes,
which is the backbone of Western civilization.
Yes.
I looked it up, actually. I went through Barack Obama's speeches and actually did a full search for the word Judeo-Christian. It doesn't appear in his 8 years as president. I see this as really an attack on the groundwork of our civilization. And I'm happy to say people are beginning to fight back. And in Missouri, you really have an attorney general, and you had one before, who, if they see violations of law, they're going to go after it, because this is just intolerable. Now, private universities, St. Louis University, WashU, they have greater scope to do things on campus that the University of Missouri does not as a public university.
Exactly.
Nevertheless, they cannot run roughshod over the civil rights of students. And whenever Jewish students are prevented from doing something, shouted down and so forth, the audience should think, what if this were happening to African-American students?
Yes.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And from based upon your experience, again, we're talking to Charles Lipson, noted syndicated columnist. I read his articles every single week, and I'll give him an opportunity to tell you how you can get his articles too in just a moment. But if this were happening, let's insert African Americans in place of Jews in America since October 7. What would the left be saying about that? If we were seeing the same type of protests, the same type of encampments, but it was against African-Americans, what would the left be saying about that?
Well, of course, they'd be saying it's all racism, it's intolerable, it's Jim Crow, it's white supremacy. Actually, they've watered down those legitimate terms. Those are important terms.
Yes, they are.
For anybody who grew up in a time of segregation and it's being overcome by Martin Luther King and many others. These are important things, and to use them willy-nilly about anything really degrades what should be important terms used carefully. But I would say that one important difference between the Jewish population and the political leaders of the African American student population and political activists is that Jewish students don't view themselves as victims. In fact, that's one of the problems that has led to an attack on Israel. Israel was kind of beloved by the left when it was a victim before it won the 1967 war, and then won again in 1973 and so forth. They love victims, dead victims even better. But Israel is not a victim, but that doesn't mean it's an oppressor. And to say that somehow it is an oppressor, when not only after October 7th, by the way, the protests against Israel after October 7th began before the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, struck back. That is, it was only after the attack on innocent civilians, killing, beheading, taking captive, and all the rest. Protests in favor of that were taking place in New York and elsewhere before the Israelis struck back. And even now, the majority of Palestinians in Gaza support Hamas. So Israel has really been left with a very difficult situation. But I frankly, here's my puzzle, and I wonder if you have any thoughts about it. What I don't understand is why a kid from, let's say, the St. Louis suburbs, whose dad is a doctor and mom is a lawyer or vice versa, why he or she feels any guilt toward these populations that are essentially appealing to people on the basis of guilt. Muslim Americans, African Americans, Muslim students who come here, all the rest. I don't understand really how they've been guilt-tripped into solidarity with movements that years later they're going to say, that's appalling.
Boy, that's a great question. I wish we could answer that. But we're talking to Charles Lipson. And Charles, unfortunately, man, I love talking to you. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment. But if folks want to get your column every week, how can they sign up for that?
It's free. Just go to Charles Lipson, L-I-P-S-O-N, charleslipson.com. And I have a kind of sign-up thing. You can put your name there. I'll email it to you. And that includes columns. I'll have one tomorrow, for example, in the large British newspaper, The Telegraph, on Trump's first 100 days and what I think he got right and what I think he didn't.
Excellent. Charles Lipson, love talking to you, my friend. And in fact, I'm going to try to talk to you next week. I'll be sitting in for Mark Reardon next week as well. I'm going to try to talk to you next week.
Does he work?
He does take vacations. I wish I had his vacation schedule. I use my vacations to work right here on 97.1. But next week, I'm going to try to connect with you so we can talk about Trump's 100 days. Charles Lipson, thanks so much for joining us here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Truly my pleasure.